like the example before, if you open up ChatGPT today, blank chat, no context, and say, I want a headline for my sneakers for an ad, it'll give you a headline, but it's going to suck, isn't it? It's going to be awful. You need to have the context in place, that the custom GPTs or the instructions that tell it who you're targeting, what your brand voice is, what your guardrails and guidelines and budget and parameters and all those kinds of things. It takes a little work. Do as much of that in advance as you can with custom GPTs and that personalized AI agents, and you'll be so much further ahead.
Couldn't agree more.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the AI Marketing Navigator. This is your daily compass in the ever-evolving world of AI marketing. We are back today talking with Mike Alton, the chief storyteller at Agora Pulse, the host of the AI and Marketing Unpacked podcast, and the co-author of the Ultimate Guide to Social Media Marketing. Mike, thank you for joining us again today. So appreciative to have you here.
My pleasure. You know, I could talk about this kind of stuff for days and days and days. So I guess it's good for both of us that we have some kind of a hard stop.
And, fair.
We'll
yes,
go
absolutely.
For a few episodes.
Absolutely. I share that. I share that feeling as well. I don't want to waste any more time. We love the technical side of things here on the AI Marketing Navigator as far as tools, custom GPTs. And you mentioned some custom GPTs that you had built, and as well as a tool called Magi. So I wonder if you could just give us a little bit of insight into what you used to build those GPTs, how that workflow looked, and then a little detail on the Magi tool for us.
Yeah. So for those who are listening who aren't quite sure what we're talking about here, a custom GPT is a set of instructions that you give to ChatGPT, and you save it as a specific set of instructions that you can call whenever you want. And my favorite one that I use all the time is my audience instructions. I have a document that I created inside of ChatGPT. Just visualize, you know, a Google Doc or a Word document, right? It's just text that says who my audience is, right? It says who I'm talking to with my content at the social media hat, which includes the podcast, blog posts, and so on. So whenever I want to brainstorm a product, a service, a new outline for an ebook, a talk that I want to give, that's where I start. I start with that audience GPT, that custom GPT, so that I don't have to give it all that information every single time. It starts the conversation already knowing who I am and who I'm trying to reach with my content. So it's a huge time saver. And it's also an improvement to accuracy, right? Because if I'm trying to give that context up front each time, I'm going to be lazy. I'm going to forget things, and it's not going to work out well for me. So that's a custom GPT. Now, all the major large language models have their version of a custom GPT. I've been leaning a lot into Google's Gemini product recently. I've got their advanced Gemini 1.5 plan, which is $20 a month, just like all the others, right? Well, they have gems, and a gem is exactly the same as a custom GPT. It's a saved set of instructions that you can call on at any time. You can have one for your audience, one for your voice, or one like we talked about in the last episode. I've got custom GPTs for each one of my five different podcasts that are showrunners, right? When I have a new guest for my AI Marketing Unpacked podcast, I call up my custom GPT or set saved instructions for that show, that show's showrunner, and I tell who the guest is, and we walk through that process. You could also have one, a different set of instructions, once you've published a piece of content. I've got that for my side hustle, the social media hat, whether it's a podcast or a blog post or an ebook or something like that. If I've hit publish, I've got a custom set of instructions where I can drop the link in there, it reviews it, and it knows everything that I want to do next. It knows my social channels. It knows that I've got a LinkedIn newsletter that's just for my podcast. It knows that I've got an email newsletter, a regular formal newsletter, like 46,000 subscribers. It knows that. And it knows what assets I want to have created for all those. It even knows how to read or view the vertical video snippets that I've pulled out of a podcast. I can drop them into the chat, and it will create me captions perfectly suited for those vertical snippets using my voice, which I've already established. Now, I talked about how ChatGPT, Gemini, Claude, they all have this capability. I don't know if Meta or Grok do, but if they don't, I'm sure they will very, very soon. the problem or the confusion for marketers and business owners then becomes, well, which one do I use? Do I use ChatGPT? Do I use Claude? You know, and if you talk to people, you may start to get a sense that some of the language models are better for some tasks than others. Right. Now, I'll say this with the caveat being the models are changing on a regular basis. You know, every couple of months or every year, they're going to come out with a new version and a new version. And each time they step up their capabilities, their skill set changes, the things that they're really, really good at. Like traditionally, it has seemed to me that Claude is better at writing copy, whereas ChatGPT seems to be better for strategy. And as I mentioned before, I'm currently testing Gemini. So hopefully we'll see where that lands. This is where Magi comes in.
Okay.
Magi is a wrapper. It accesses all these large language models. So you use it in a chat, just like you would any one of them individually. But when you're in the chat, you can pick and choose which model you want to use. Okay. It even has the differences between them. So you could use ChatGPT 4.0 preview or ChatGPT, you know, one of the other ones. You can use Claude 3.5 Sonnet or Opus, and you can go back and forth. You can use Mistral, you can use Meta, you can use Grok. So first of all, if you don't know which one's better for a particular task, open a chat, pick a large language model, give it your prompt, then pick a different large language model, give it the same prompt again, and now you've got two different outputs that you can easily compare side by side. Which one did better for you for what you're trying to accomplish? If it's writing a social media post, which one do you think would resonate with your audience better? Which one sounds like you, more like you? Assuming you've given it some context, which is the other real benefit to Magi. Magi has what's called personas, and those act just like custom GPTs.
Got it.
You put in all your instructions. So I have a voice persona. I've got an audience persona. The beauty there is I'm not having to pay for ChatGPT and Claude and Gemini and Meta and Grok, right? I can apply those personas to whatever large language model I want. And again, I can go back and forth. So I can open up a new chat and I can use my voice persona and have a conversation where I'm going back and forth with ChatGPT or Claude. Or better yet, this is what I'll often do. If I want to come up with, let's say I want to brainstorm a talk that I'm going to give. I often give talks to colleges, right? A professor that I know, they'll reach out and say, hey, Mike, can you talk to my class at Emory University next week about AI? I'm like, okay, sure. What do they want to know about? And they'll say, well, we want to know about custom GPTs. Okay, cool. Well, what if I don't already have that talk prepared? Turn to AI. And so I'll go into Magi. And the first thing I'll do is select my audience persona, right? It wants to know who I'm talking to. Now, in this case, I may refine it and say, okay, look, this is my audience, but I'm talking to the younger version of that audience. They're still in college. They want to be marketers when they grow up. They're still in college. So that's cool. I understand that. And then I might choose ChatGPT as the large language model. So I'm pairing my audience persona with ChatGPT to generate, you know, what are the topics they might want to know about, and eventually get to the point where I've outlined the entire talk, because that's the first step to building a good piece of content like that, right? I want a really comprehensive outline, all the points that I want to talk about. Now, my speaking style is to script everything. If I'm going on stage, I've memorized a script to the point where I can just talk to about without even thinking about it. And then I can improvise and pivot on the fly. But I memorize a script. That's how I do things. When I'm doing a virtual presentation, it's easy because I have a teleprompter and I can just read the script. So then once I've got the outline, the next step is to do two changes. First, I change the persona, the custom GPT, from audience to voice. So now it knows, oh, right, we're going to talk like Mike talks because I've trained it. It knows my patterns of speech. It knows I'm a certified NLP practitioner and I like to draw pictures, mental pictures for people and tell you to imagine your childhood room, your bedroom where you grew up in and what that looked like. And I can just take you down that lane and make you remember that. It knows I like science fiction and like to build in those references. And it knows that I love history and like to draw parallels between history and today's marketing trends, which is why I'm so infatuated with the Industrial Revolution. Mm-hmm. But then I also switched the large language model. I switched from ChatGPT to Claude because Claude's a better writer, in my opinion. So now it's using my voice and it's using my preferred writer. It's already got the outline right there. And I say, okay, let's draft this sucker.
Amazing.
And it comes up with a beautiful draft. And then we tweak it. I say, no, this needs to be longer. I don't like this example, whatever. You know, I work with it. We're a team. We're collaborating. But that's how I use those custom GPTs, gems, artifacts, whatever you want to call them.
Amazing. I love all of that. In particular, the hack, I'm going to call it, of being able to compare those models side by side in Magi, which is something that I find so useful. I'm always hopping back and forth in between the models because I do 100% agree that they're more well-suited to certain tasks. So having them all in that one wrapper, as you call Magi, is fascinating. And I also want to touch on one more of your... There's the AI marketing navigator dogs for anybody listening. It's okay. It's okay. You can be on the interview. It's all right. One thing I wanted to ask you is, and I think it's another one of your, I'm going to call it a hot take. And we were talking about these GPTs and prompting and using these tools. You've said before that you're not a fan of traditional prompt frameworks. Can you just elaborate for a couple minutes on what you mean by traditional prompt frameworks and how do you, what do you see as a more effective prompt strategy?
I've seen a lot of people share so-called prompt frameworks. And I say it that way because unfortunately, most of the times that I see people sharing them, they kind of rub me as a snake oil salesman, not because of what they're doing, but because that's over and over and over again what they're posting. You know, here's your top 10 prompts. Here's your top 10 frameworks. Here's your top 10 image generators. I mean, that's just all they do on social media. What I love to do is have a collaborative conversation with AI, regardless of which model I'm using, whether it's ChatGPT, Genesis, Claude, or all the above inside of Magi, right? And I simply start by explaining what is it that I want to accomplish. And I provide as much context as I know to provide at that particular moment. And as you do this more, you will get a better understanding of what AI needs to know in order to do a really, really good job. But then the real key for me is to make sure that I always say to the AI, before I hit enter, ask me all the questions you need and take as much time as you need. And we'll work on this together. Because what people don't understand, and this is why you don't necessarily need a prompt framework. As long as you understand AI, you'll be fine. And what people don't understand is AI is programmed to be helpful. If you open ChatGPT, a completely new chat right now, and you say, write me a blog post about sharks, it will write you a blog post about sharks. It won't have your voice. It won't know your target audience. It won't care. It will simply do what you ask it to do. And it will be, you know, absolute fluff, mediocre, average garbage. The difference then is once you understand, oh, okay, it's designed to be helpful, but I have to give it the guardrails and the context to be truly helpful to me, the person, the individual on the other side of the computer screen, then that opens up this world where, okay, we're going to collaborate. You're an assistant, and I'm going to tell you what you need to know. And I'm going to tell you, don't do anything until I'm ready for you to do what I want you to do. Here's what we want to accomplish today.
Absolutely.
I want to have a conversation about, you know, what's the one real problem that I can help businesses solve as an AI consultant. And, you know, before you start throwing out all this stuff, you know that these are the things that I do right now. Let's talk about the problems businesses have and let's explore that. Those are the kinds of conversations I love having with AI.
Yeah. I love that. I agree 100%. And now I'm almost viewing traditional prompt frameworks as a trap because it's almost this idea that, okay, I copy and paste this into whatever AI tool and I'm going to get the answer I need. And that's, but as you and I know, and as listeners to the show know who use AI on a daily basis, you should almost never accept the AI's first answer. You should always try and dive a little bit deeper and draw some more information out or something like that, whether it's because the first answer was just all fluff and it didn't have what you exactly needed. So I love that idea of if you're going to use frameworks, it's not like I don't think they're a good starting point for a conversation, but don't let them be the end all of what you're doing with these AI tools. Try and inject more of your needs and your perspective into a framework like that. So I think that's a really, really great point. Last thing I want to do in our conversation here, Mike, is just kind of project into the next 3 and 5 years of AI capabilities here. We talked about how crucial it is for businesses to be thinking about AI in the next 3 to 5 years, but how do you envision the role of a specifically a marketing professional, and maybe just someone who, maybe not an executive, because we know the executives, as we've talked about and as reports are showing us, are basically all on board for AI. If you're a mid-level marketer, if you're even better, an entry-level marketer, what do you see the next 3 to 5 years looking like as these AI capabilities continue to advance?
I love this question, because this is exactly what I've been talking to these college students about, to Emory, to Bardock College, to Southern Illinois University, right? Where these are marketers that are in digital marketing programs right now. And, you know, everyone needs to understand, it's not like universities saw the writing on the wall 3 years ago and said, oh, we need to hire a bunch of AI instructors. No, they're not there yet, right? So usually what's covered regarding AI in a digital marketing course today is when a guest lecturer like myself comes in for one session out of an entire semester. That's about it. But what I'm telling them is, and you all listening, you've got the benefit to go back to the previous couple of episodes that we just talked about. We talked about custom GPTs. We talked about building that team. And that's exactly what I'm telling these marketing students, is that they need to start learning how to use the tools today and how to personalize the tools so that they can build for themselves an entire marketing team that will help them in their role. Now, it might not need to be every single marketing role, because to your point, you know, maybe they're a mid-level marketer who's got a very specific role. Maybe they're running, you know, paid media. Okay. Well, a paid media person still needs to be able to analyze data from a bunch of different platforms. They need to be able to create copy for a bunch of different ads. They need to be able to come up with ideas for experimentation and A/B split testing. They need to analyze the results. There's so many things that they need to be able to do that AI can come in and help them with every single one of those tasks and allow them to focus on strategy, focus on communication. They're allowing them to scale. I mean, if I came to you today, Alex, and I said, look, I want to run a series of meta ads next week, and I want 100 variations on the ad. You'd be like, go take a hike, Mike. I don't have that kind of time. But with AI, you can. AI, I mean, once you go through the process, like we just got done talking about, collaborating with AI to understand what you want to accomplish, and, you know, getting that baseline understanding of, excuse me, these are the kinds of ads we want to create. Once it understands that, oh yeah, it could absolutely create 100 combinations of headlines, body, descriptions, URLs, campaign tags. It can do the entire thing for you, even create imagery if you want it to. And all you need then is to go in and be able to input that data. And this is where things are going to get really fun. In the next few years with agentic AI, you would not have to actually even enter those inputs personally, manually. You'd have the conversation with AI. It would understand what you want to accomplish, and you'd check that and say, okay, yeah, these are the kinds of ads I want, or these are the kinds of experiments that we want to do, and these are the channels we want to go after, and these are the audiences we want to target. And then it builds the campaigns and it executes the campaigns, and you come back afterwards and you review the results. But the key there is to understand that you as a marketer need to know how to customize and personalize the AI so that it can do all those things for you effectively. Mm-hmm. Like the example before, if you open up ChatGPT today, blank chat, no context, and say, I want a headline for my sneakers, mm-hmm, for an ad, it'll give you a headline, but it's going to suck, mm-hmm, isn't it? It's going to be awful. You need to have the context in place, that the custom GPTs or the instructions that tell it who you're targeting, what your brand voice is, what your guardrails and guidelines and budget and parameters and all those kinds of things. It takes a little work. Do as much of that in advance as you can with custom GPTs and that personalized AI agents, and you'll be so much further ahead.
Couldn't agree more. We talk about so much how on the AI Marketing Navigator, how the competitive marketer, and especially when you think about these students coming out of college and entry-level marketing positions, someone who is using a ChatGPT, like you just mentioned, saying, oh, I need a headline, and they get one headline and they're done, versus an entry-level marketer who knows in and out how to use these tools and has already established their voice and their persona, whether it's Magi or whatever tool they're using, the results are going to be just night and day different. And so I think the next 3 to 5 years are just all about education, self-education. If you're, as far as businesses go, education of employees, things like that. And I also love that you mentioned agentic AI. Mike, you know, that's my favorite topic. And the AI Marketing Navigator listeners know that that's my favorite topic. And in a few months, you guys have to check out our episode on Mike's show. We talk all about agentic AI. So definitely check that out. But I think that as far, if you can focus on educating yourself and upskilling yourself, and if you can dive into agentic AI, and I'm going to cut myself off before we do so at the end of our episode here, but listen to the agentic AI episodes we talked about in the past. If you don't know what agentic AI is, learn. I'm going to give you the definition right now because I can't even help from talking about it, but we're talking about these systems that can act completely autonomously and independently. And so when Mike talks about the next 3 to 5 years of marketing, artificial intelligence and marketing, you're talking about skills that go way beyond just knowing how to prompt the tool. You're talking about knowing how to build an entire AI department underneath you, creative or otherwise. So just so much good stuff there, Mike, as far as the next 3 to 5 years. And as you and I know, this field and this landscape is moving so fast and every day. So I would also encourage people listening who are trying to self-educate is don't try to cut yourself some slack. Don't get overwhelmed. I get overwhelmed every day when it comes to the technologies and the tools we're using. I'm sure, Mike, you've experienced some of the same. So just know that if you are open-minded and learning, you're probably already in the top 10%. So continue to do that. Mike, I think I'm gonna call it quits there for us. I really, really appreciate your time. I think it's gonna bring us to the end of our interview. Thank you so much for being here again, being our first guest on the pod. You have the distinct, I'm gonna say maybe not blessing or curse, but you have the distinct pleasure of being our first guest here on the pod. So I really appreciate you. I really appreciate you working with us and bearing with us on our technical difficulties. Mike, for any listeners who want to learn more about you, more about AgoraPulse or connect with you, where can they find you and how can they do that?
So the easiest thing to do is go to thesocialmediahat.com/connect. And that's where you'll see my social networks. If you want to connect with me on your favorite social network, whatever it is, I'm on all of them. If you want to listen to my podcast, listen to the blog or read the blog, something along those lines. If you're looking for an immersive training, I offer a 2-day boot camp, usually about once a quarter. You can learn more about that there as well.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I'll be linking to all of that in the show notes, everybody. Definitely check out Mike Alton's stuff. Mike, appreciate you so much. Take care and hope to talk again soon. Maybe someday we can have you back on the pod.
Thanks, Alex. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Bye now. Awesome. Thanks, Mike.